those of you that were here, and many thanks to all of you, of course, to the many of you that worked behind the scene, and to make our celebration all the more special. Again, on behalf of my wife, we are indeed thankful for your willingness to serve and be used of the Lord in so many different ways. Brother Nigel was impressed, if I could use that word, in you, your friendliness, and all that you've done, and your welcoming of him and his wife. He committed in praying for us, as he is now doing that anyway. So continue to pray for him as well. This morning, I'd like to follow through on that anniversary celebration. And of course, today and indeed the days coming, Lord willing, we're going for gold. 50 years next year. You see, the number 50 is found some 154 times in the Bible. The number 50 has been associated to God's temple in the Old Testament in different ways. For example, the work of maintaining God's tabernacle in the wilderness was so laborious that only men who were under 50 years old were allowed to serve. Numbers chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The number 50 is woven into the details God gave ancient Israel in Exodus chapter 26 regarding the curtains, the customs, and signs required for his tabernacle in the wilderness. It's quite detailed. A set of 10 curtains were commanded to be made, with each one constructed from the fine linen and colored blue, purple, and scarlet with cherubim on them. Each curtain was to have 50 loops, verse 5, and 50 thatches, thatches meaning clasps or hooks of gold used to connect the curtains together, that's found in verse 6. A set of 11 other curtains made of goat's hair, verse 7, were also to be crafted for the tabernacle. They, too, were to be made with 50 loops, but the 50 clasps were to be of brass, verses 10 to 11. The east and west side of the tabernacle's rectangular court was to be 50 cubits wide. In the New Testament, the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word for 50th, also known as the Feast of Weeks or First Fruits. It was on this special holy day of Pentecost that God first poured his Holy Spirit to some 120 believers who had gathered to keep that day. We find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, in chapter 2 as well. They became, in essence, the first fruits of God's spiritual harvest of men. Daniel Webster's, and I keep on saying this, it's really the first dictionary that I use these days. The 1828 Daniel Webster's Dictionary defines Pentecost as a solemn festival of the Jews because they celebrated on the 50th day after the 16th of Nisan, which was the second day of the Passover. It was called the Feast of Weeks because it celebrated 7 weeks after the Passover. It was instituted to oblige the people to repair the temple of the Lord. there to acknowledge his absolute dominion over the country and offer him the first fruits of their grain harvest. Also, that they might call to mind and give thanks to God for the law which he had given them at Sinai on the 50th day from their departure from Egypt. The number 50 also symbolizes or is the year of Jubilee for God's people Israel. They were to count 7 Sabbath years, and the following year was the Jubilee. My dear ones, we are not the Israelites. We are the Gentile nation. But in more ways than one, we here at Calvary Baptist Church are on our 7 Sabbaths of years, and next year will be our own Jubilee, our 50th year anniversary as a church. I don't know about you, but the more I think about that and the urgency and not knowing when the Lord may come, it will be by his grace that we will reach our 50th anniversary. And so as we look forward to our own Jubilee, so to speak, I'd like us to look forward to it with great anticipation. And no, not just that one Sunday where we would celebrate our 50th anniversary. I'd like to admonish and encourage us all to work for God's glory throughout this year, and indeed the year that is to come. And by Sunday, the 24th of September next year, with great praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, on that day, we will celebrate the beginning of our year Jubilee. Jubilee for Israel was not just a year. There is a purpose, and there are commandments that God gave them to do in that year. Well, we are not bound by those commandments. However, the Bible says these are for our examples. I believe there are principles that we can apply to ourselves individually and corporately as a church in our anniversary year or our Jubilee, so to speak. Firstly, Jubilee was for the liberation of the people. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Beloved, did you know that this is the very message that our Lord Jesus Christ preached at the synagogue at Nazareth? Turn to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, please. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 18. You are familiar with this, of course, but it's good to read it directly from the Word. Luke chapter 4 and in verse 18. The Lord Jesus speaking here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And then he said, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I'd like us to consider that as we look forward to celebrate our 50th year, I'm prayerfully seeking your help, your commitment, your assistance, if you like, that as we go through this year, that we would get some specific and practical goals as we look forward to celebrating 50 years. As far as I know, from the time that the church was instituted, we look forward to that anniversary day since 1974, because the church started as a church in 73. But perhaps on this, our 50th year, rather than just focusing on that day, I'd really want us to look forward to that day this year in anticipation of that one day. I'd like to offer you some practical ways that perhaps we can celebrate our 50th year. As I said, I'm prayerfully seeking your help, that as part of our goal this year, in our 50th year, is to distribute 50,000 gospel tracts through the year. I have here, and I have a faithful member of our church bundle this for me. Just guess how many gospel tracts there is in here. Anyone? How many tracts do you think this is?
200?
Anyone else? Come on. 1,000?
500.
I have somebody bundle this for me in lots of hundreds. This year, I'd like us to have at least 50 of us willing to take this challenge of distributing. If there's only 50, it will be 1,000 gospel tracts each. If there's more than 50, it will be less than that. Now, I've Googled some typical suburbs in Melbourne, including our peripherals here. Do you know that there are thousands of houses in just even a suburb? And it wouldn't take that long to distribute 50,000 gospel tracts. But I'd like to celebrate with you at September next year. We could praise the Lord that we have distributed 50,000 gospel tracts in your own neighborhood and here in the peripherals of our church, Piedmont, Bayswater, Ringwood, Scoresby, Kilsyth, Croydon, and those are the areas that you do live. It's a beautiful risk because in every gospel tract here, my name and my number is in here. And every time some of you would distribute a gospel tract, particularly in bulk, I always get a phone call. And so far, we've managed to address that carefully and graciously. But I'm enjoining you, church. 50,000 gospel tracts from this day until next year. And I'd like to have many of us. Next week, I'll put these bundles up here at the table. And if you could grab one and start distributing them as part of our goal for our 50th year. Like I said, if there's 50 of us, that's 1,000 gospel tracts each. The Jubilee not only promised liberty, it also returned those who were in slavery to their families and their possessions. What a manifestation of the redeeming love of Christ to those who were enslaved by sin. You and I were such and once before. But because of the grace and the mercy of God, we have been freed from that slavery. The Jubilee was announced by the blowing of the trumpet, the shofar, ram's horn. And if you've visited Israel, you can buy these in souvenir shops. And it's loud. At Jubilee, that shofar is blown in towards the land, announcing the year of Jubilee. Calvary Baptist Church, we have an opportunity to have a different shofar in these gospel tracts, to announce, to herald the gospel of grace through Jesus Christ. Will you participate? Would you take a bundle as you walk your dog, as you go through places anywhere and everywhere? When you dine in to a restaurant, you leave the gospel tract as you pay your bill. All sorts of ways that you can distribute these gospel tracts. I pray that you will. It is becoming apparent to me that one way to communicate and get connected these days is through social media. It's here, and we can't ignore it, and it is what it is. Quite frankly, I don't know enough about it to use it. But for those of you who are in the know, why not use this medium to post 50 posts this year through your Facebook, through your Instagram, through your TikTok, through your Twitter, through your SMS, through your MMS, whatever messaging service that there are these days. One post a week. This time, not about a post about yourself, but perhaps a post of a Savior Christ. One a week. Maybe for 50 weeks that you would do that, you can actually be an influencer. That's the term for people that are using social media. An influencer. Perhaps you can be an influencer for God. The Jubilee was a call to devotion to God. Again, as we approach our own Jubilee as a church, can I encourage us all to seriously devote this year to the Lord, and indeed the year's coming, if we actually even have a year. If we still have the years that we are anticipating, or at least until we hear the trump of God sound to do the following. Again, as your pastor, I admonish you and encourage you to participate in this commitment to devote ourselves more than we ever did to the Lord. And you may want to take note of these suggestions. I'll use the Apostle Paul's statement. This is not a command, but I believe this is expedient. It is necessary. And so, one of the things that I admonish and encourage us is to read 50 chapters of the Bible this year. I know many of you are already reading your Bibles, and perhaps even more than 50 chapters. But can I challenge you? One chapter a week for 50 weeks. And I believe this passionately and deep in my heart, that if we faithfully read and keep His Word in our hearts, we will know so much of the Lord, and we will know so much of His ways. May I encourage us to memorize 50 verses of Scriptures this year. Not only because we can participate in the Bible quiz, but to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. One verse a week for 50 weeks this year, that we would memorize a verse. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, and many of you know this, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Are you struggling with sin, beloved? Keep his word in your heart. For wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How about making a conscious effort to pray for 50 hours this year? I know many of you, if not all of you, are already praying. But perhaps a conscious effort to pray at least a total of 1 hour every week for 50 weeks, rather than just praying for our meals or that rushed 5 minutes of prayer. If there's anything that we will accomplish in the year to come, is to the prayer of God's people. A conscious effort to fall down on our knees, to pray for 1 hour each week, a total of 1 hour each week, for 50 weeks, praying to the Almighty to watch over our church, our families, our state, our nation. And indeed, if we would pray for one another more than we ever did this year. For those of us who can and are in relatively good health, perhaps we commit to fast for a day, or fast for a meal for 50 weeks. If the Pharisees claim to fast twice in a week, and as we've learned in our sermon series, and if our righteousness are to exceed the righteousness of a Pharisee, perhaps those of us who can should fast and pray. And if that's too hard, one main meal a week, and use that sacrifice of indulgence to focus our attention not on this world, but on the Lord. Now, people do fasting these days to lose weight, and perhaps that's a side bonus. But if you and I would fast and pray for 1 hour each week for 50 weeks, seeking God's wisdom and guidance and indeed deliverance for us, perhaps would we make a conscious effort to make 50 phone calls, 50 texts, maybe 50 emails, whatever form of communication that you're comfortable with this year, to encourage one another, to talk to one another, to pray over the phone together. Let us call each other and tell each other how thankful and blessed we all are for each other. Perhaps by doing so, we can strengthen each other in the Lord. You know, a simple phone call, if you're on the receiving end, and I have been plenty of times, is just a feeding to the soul. Would you do it? Would you pick up the phone and call a brother and sister all throughout this year, appreciate them, and tell them how much of a blessing they have been to you. The Jubilee was also for the poor and needy. This is the time that they will rest the land. This is the time that they will leave the corners without being gleaned, so that somebody can garner some food for themselves. Perhaps this year we can commit, and this will sound like a salesman, but take it for what it is. Perhaps we can commit an extra $1 in our offerings, particularly for our missionaries, for 50 weeks. $1 a day. You can sacrifice one coffee in that 1 week. Just so that we can give more than what we've ever done for our missionaries. An exhibition of your generosity is already manifested just recently. So I'm trying to stretch our faith. I know the narratives on the cost of living, petrol, and all the doom and gloom. But would we trust the Lord? Would we trust Him? And see if He will not open the windows of heaven and fill up our barns to the full. You see, our $1 more every week, given sacrificially, given cheerfully, given faithfully to the Lord, that little can be so much for His cause and His gospel, and ultimately for His glory. Now, I labored in all of that, but let me warn you. The Jews, the nation of Israel, there's no record that they've honored the year of Jubilee. They did not follow the commandment of God. They did not rest the land. They did not set their slaves free. They trusted in themselves rather than God. And as a consequence, not only did they miss the blessings of God, but they reaped judgment for themselves out of their disobedience. Oh, my dear ones, may it not be so for us here at Calvary Baptist. And as we approach our 50th year, may we remain faithful to the one who has been faithful for us all these many years. In closing, open your Bibles to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Now, don't worry, we will finish in time. But as we approach our 50th anniversary next year, again, I want us to consider this Psalm of David. Psalm 37, please. Again, I'm praying that in this, our 49th year, we will commit, we will consecrate ourselves, that even by the time we get to September next year, we can celebrate in anticipation and the assurance that we have done what we could for God and for His glory. Firstly, here, as David encouraged us, we are to trust in the Lord, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. To trust Him, beloved, is to walk by faith, not by sight. To trust Him is to confide in Him. To trust Him is to leave everything in His hands. Without a doubt, through the year, we will have many difficulties as a church. Many challenges. Things that will happen that we wish would not happen. But be trusting of the Lord, my dear ones, because He is sovereign. And what He permits is going to happen for His own glory and for our own good. Remember, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Verse 3 continues, not only it will be for our good, but notice that the Lord also wants us to do good. To be engaged, to be involved, to participate in good works. Works of love, works of benevolence. Satan and his demons and those who will allow themselves to be influenced by him, and yes, even other believers, they may do evil upon us and the church to discourage us. But the admonition here is to do good. To do good, even to them that do or will do evil against us. One writer said, the best way not to fret about the wicked, the unbelieving, and even those that misbehave in the church of God is to do good unto them. Repay their evil with good, like Joseph did with his brothers, his erring brothers. By doing so, we keep our minds and hearts out of complaining, out of fretting, as the psalmist encouraged us. Trust the Lord and do good. Secondly, verse 4. We are to delight ourselves unto the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. To delight in the Lord is to seek our joy, to seek our happiness in Him, and to no one else and to nothing else. To delight in His being and Him being our God. To delight in His attributes. To delight in His perfection. To delight in His faithful and unfailing love, grace, and mercy. To delight in Him being our God and we being His people. Beloved, this year when we have our share of church life becoming difficult, and it will, you just have to read what's happening in other nations about the persecution of the churches, and even in here in our own country, just in case you haven't noticed, it will be becoming difficult. But can I encourage us not to focus on the problems that arise around us? For when we do that, all that will happen is that we will become discouraged. We will become defeated, and perhaps some of us even depressed. And if we will let the Lord to be the focus of our attention, who He is to us, and what He has done for us, and where is He taking us, His love. Beloved, even the darkness of days, we will endure because we know there is that blessed hope. That redemption of this corrupt and sinful body. And there is that glorious appearing of Jesus Christ to look forward to. And the Bible says that we will be like Him. And then He said He will dwell with us and He will be our God and we shall be His people forever and ever. And so let us delight in the Lord through the remainder of this year and the coming new year. Thirdly, look at verse 5 with me. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit. That is really all that we're doing here, beloved. We are committing our year to the Lord. Our plans, our aspirations, our goals as a church. That's why I said it before and I say it again. James chapter 4, verse 15. If the Lord will, we shall be able to do things. We recognize that if we are to accomplish any of what we have set out to do in this year, the commitment unto him and him allowing us to do them. The idea of committing here is to roll away upon the Lord. It means to lay it on to the Lord so that he can bear it. Isn't that what he said in Matthew 11:28 anyway? Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Indeed. You see, beloved, we're not meant to bear the burdens of ministry alone. We are to commit them all to him, roll it upon the Lord as he instructed us. Hey, he promised. Look at the verse. He promised that he will bring it to pass. Our job is to commit it unto him. And his job is to bring it to pass according to his will. We can do no better, beloved. We can do no better. And so we are trusting, we are delighting, we are committing. Lastly, verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We are to rest in the Lord. And that is the year of Jubilee is all about. Resting and waiting patiently for him. The Hebrew word rest here means to be silent, to be mute, to be still and know that he is God. Resting is leaving the whole, not just part, but the whole matter to him, and be not anxious of the result or the outcome. This year there will be both the physical and the spiritual building work that will happen around our church. It will be done and it will be accomplished. And I'm reminding myself to be diligent and responsible on the task that I can do, but rest on him on those that I cannot do. We are to all serve him, and we should. We can all labor in the gospel, and we should. But more than that, what you and I can and should do this year is we need to be a people. We need to be a church that rests upon the Lord. To learn to be still and let God be God. We are to wait patiently on him, hard to do. There may be some delays in what we're trying to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of others around us. I'm reminded of what George Mueller once said. God's delays are never his denials. God's delays are never his denials. Beloved, we are to rest in him. Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Trust. Delight. Commit. And let us all rest in the Lord. Let us do all our part, as I'm sure he will do his part, as he has done for these many years in this church. Praise God for what he has done in the lives of others who have gone before us. And this is our time. This is our stewardship. And what we do from here on and in the days coming that God gives us is on us. Anniversaries, most of the time, is historical. We look back and appreciate what God has done, and so we should, and praise him for what he has done. But I'm of the view, anniversaries are also looking to the future. What God can do in each and every one of us, if we would just be willing to submit and be obedient to what he wants us to do. You see, you cannot run a race looking back. And there is a race, beloved, that is set before us. Apostle Paul mentioned plenty of times, forgetting those things that are behind. Look forward to what is ahead. This is our time. This is our stewardship. The good old days are great, but the more, the best is yet to come if we would focus our gaze upon the Savior. Would we do it? Oh, Calvary Baptist Church, I plead with you. We are on our 7th year of Sabbath. This is not rest time. This is battle time. And there is an eternity to rest forever and ever. God will do his part. The Lord will look after us. After all, this is his church. He loved it and died for it. And he promised that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you for this moment that we have an opportunity just to admonish and encourage one another. Lord, thank you for the 49 years of your guidance through this body of believers. We thank you, dear God, for Brother Doug Cutts, whom you have called to go to this country to minister to the people here, to then establish and find the church, and then dedicate it for your glory. Thank you to the men and their wives that have stewarded the church in the days gone by and for us at this time. Lord, we pray that in these last days that we would be steadfast, that we would be faithful. While the world we see and what we read of the book is not going to be better, but we trust in you, we would delight in you, we would commit ourselves in you, and indeed we would rest in your promise. Should you give us yet another year. By September next year, we would like to celebrate and praise you and thank you for what you have done in the lives of your people here. Not knowing who will be here and who will be gone and people that will move on. Nevertheless, it is your church. You loved it. You died for it. And all we have to do is follow you. And so we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the privilege to be reminded of the 50 years, the year of Jubilee, so to speak. And may we as Calvary Baptists would take a moment to reflect on you and you alone. We thank you. We ask all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.